This is Money Moves on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Was the night before Christmas where all in the house watched an OKC beat down Spurs twice now are proud. How about that result last night as we welcome you in to Money Moves on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network? I can already just feel the disdain coming at me from across the table here. Stormy Bonantoni, Jonathan Von Tobel with you live in downtown Las Vegas. Welcome into Money Moves.
I mean, it wasn't the night before Christmas, so it was last night.
Dang it.
Tonight's the night
before. Yeah, but I mean, I was trying to do it today, you know. Talking
They're
about today,
tonight,
it was. But you know what I'm doing. You know what I was doing. You're dead to me.
It was a good effort.
You're dead to me.
It was a good try.
That said, a game last night that was close until it wasn't. My goodness. And how about the OKC Thunder getting got once again by San Antonio? I was pretty stunned by that.
Yeah, a really good moment for San Antonio. The new tradition of banging the drum or doing whatever they were doing after.
I like that. I didn't know that Wemby had that in him, by the way. He's a little bit of a showman.
Oh, I think that's the most underrated aspect of Victor Wembanyama that is not as covered. And there's probably a deeper societal thing here of what we assume of Frenchmen overall. But, like, he's kind of got, like, the cantankerous dog in him, absolutely, when you see some of the clips from there. And so I don't think that there is any sort of coincidence that the day after they beat the Thunder for the second time in six games or whatever it is, that they do this on their home floor. So I am very jazzed up for what this rematch is going to look like on Christmas. But as you mentioned, two of the four losses for the Thunder this year have been to the San Antonio Spurs. And how about this? Something or nothing. Thunder now with no rest this season, 2-3 straight up, 1-4 against the spread. And on no rest on the road, they have failed to cover and win a game, 0-3 straight up and against the spread. Small sample size, maybe it matters, but this Thunder team now all of a sudden, a team that we all thought, and I still think they can, we're going to cruise through and get to this win record set by the Golden State Warriors. All of a sudden, it's back out to 11-1, and you're thinking like, ooh, man, this is going to be a little bit more of a challenge. They got a bullseye on their back, man. Every team wants to take them down.
Absolutely. The defending champs and going on this crazy streak like they have. I think it was Will Hill who I saw tweet last night. So much for all those OKC to break the record bets and all of that stuff.
Well, he's being pessimistic. He's got a ticket on it.
Spurs shot 57% from the field. It was the first opponent OKC let shoot better than 50%. All year long, and we talk about those losses against them specifically. The Thunder against the Spurs, 0-2 this year with a minus 11 point differential. Yep. Thunder against everybody else, 26-2, plus 16.8 point differential.
Yeah, so when we get into the Christmas card, there's a lot of different statistical things you can point to in this series that I think should correct themselves, but we'll see if that happens. I mean, on a one-off game, again, I know they've played them three times now in however many amount of games, but in a single-off game, it doesn't mean anything that it'll fix itself. In a playoff series, maybe. But on a random day, on a Christmas card, I don't know.
We will get that three-peat tomorrow, 2:30 p.m. Eastern on ABC and ESPN. Oddsmakers don't seem to think that will be the case. OKC laying 9.5 at home right now, total 235.5. And that's just the tip of the iceberg of all the stuff that we have to come today over the course of the next 2 hours here on the program. So let's set the table like we always do here off the top. Time to run it down.
It's time for the top headlines and topics of the day. This is The Rundown.
All right, let's get into our top items and guests on deck today. Kendall Valenzuela and Ben Lieber going to join us. Kendall, as always, in her Wednesday spot, football analyst over at Fantasy Life. And then Ben Lieber, former NFL linebacker, spent a decade in the league, now covers his former team as a broadcaster on Vikings Radio Network. Get the lowdown on everything Minnesota going into that contest with the Lions tomorrow.
Yeah, and maybe you can tell us why we should even just watch the game.
Why should we watch any of the three games tomorrow, to be honest with you?
It looks pretty ugly at this point right now. Hopefully, there is some reason to watch outside of maybe some wagers. And for Kendall, as everybody is going to have their playoff championships decided this week, so pretty big spot. You're going to want to listen in?
No doubt about it. You mentioned Christmas cards. We have the three games in the NFL and five games in the NBA tomorrow. A couple of them pretty interesting. And I know yesterday we talked about maybe the Cavs could be looking ahead to that game on Christmas. Not so much. They dominated yesterday.
They did. The Knicks, though, rested a bunch of guys, and then they were sitting out, and Timberwolves get a big win against them. The Christmas card on paper looks absolutely tremendous for the NBA, especially when you compare it to their now rival, the National Football League, and the weight of all of these games that we're going to watch. I can't wait. Like, right off the bat, Knicks-Cavs should be a ton of fun, and going from there, what this is going to look like is going to be tremendous. So looking forward to it, man, and I've got a lot of good statistics for them.
And since we don't have any NBA or NHL today, our producer Wyatt has handpicked some potential futures bets to play in each sports, and naughty or nice, NBA and NHL futures. We will determine who's nice and worth a bet or who's relegated to the naughty list and might have better luck next year. So there you go.
Not feeling it.
You don't like the ones that he put in for you?
Nah, Matt Humans-esque there. It's like something about saying somebody's naughty or nice. I don't know. Matt Humans told me today I wasn't allowed to use an umbrella. So.
Okay. Why? What?
Oh, it's not manly.
Because you're a man, so
yes,
you can't use an umbrella.
What? Before I left the house, I reached out on Twitter and I asked Matt Humans, am I allowed to use an umbrella today? His response was, no, and you already know the answer to that ridiculous question.
So I don't know. Why are these things not manly? So first and for anybody who doesn't know about this, apparently back in the day on VSiN Primetime, you and Matt had a discussion about making eggs.
Correct, yes.
And that was not manly.
No.
And neither is using an umbrella. Is there just a checklist of what's manly and what's not that I don't know about?
I don't know if there's a checklist, but Matt Humans is the ultimate arbiter in such things. So you have to go and ask him as to what is and what isn't. But just had to run through. So I told Matt, I'm sorry for asking. And I got very wet on the way to the car.
The more you know.
It's raining here, by the way.
Gotta get a garage, I guess.
Yeah, not here.
Okay, so last couple days, we have kicked off the show with a bowl game that was starting. Bowl game today, a little bit later on in the day, but we do still have one coming up on the island, the annual Christmas Eve tradition over there for the Hawaii Bowl. We've got Cal in Hawaii today, and we've seen a lot of movement, spread and total on this one. Cal opened around a 3-point favorite, or was out to as much as a 3-point favorite. Now they're currently a 1.5-point dog against the Hawaii Rainbow Warriors, who have a basic home game in this spot. Yeah. The total down from 55.5 to 51.5. I've got a bad number. I took over 54.5 earlier, about a little less than 2 weeks ago. And I don't really know if this movement is information-based or just market belief. There were some questions about Cal's top two defensive players, Cade Uluave and Zeke Massis, but I haven't heard anything one way or another about whether or not they're going to opt out. I know weather and wind are likely going to be a factor in this game today as well, but what are your thoughts out there in Hawaii today?
I got an incredible text about an umbrella just now, so we'll have to save that for a little bit later. Weeks ago we had talked about this. This is the lone bowl bet I made early on. Hawaii on the money line at about +110. So I think you have a couple of things at play here. First off, with the total, reports of a lot of wind out in Hawaii. So that's why you've seen this get down to 151.5. Somebody on social media will remember this, especially some of our bettors. Please, if you could, maybe you'll remember this. I want to say it was about 2018. I could be wrong in my year, but there was a Bahamas Bowl where there was reportedly just a windstorm coming in, gusts of up to 60 miles an hour. This total dropped in this Bahamas Bowl by quite a few points, and the game just sailed over.
Yeah.
So there is always an assumption that maybe there's going to be some wind, some impact on what the weather is. But I think you do have to ask yourself at some point, all right, are we getting to a little bit too much? I think that explains the total. As for the side, I think this is kind of similar to the Hawaii Bowl that I keep invoking when you're talking about, Shaven Cordero coming down to San Jose State against Coastal Carolina or whoever it was. I think there's just a lot of, hey, Hawaii had one goal this year. And a lot of teams have these goals. But Timmy Chang and the Rainbow Warriors, one thing was important for them. It was winning enough games to get to a bowl. Now that they have won those games and gotten to that bowl, it's also a home game for them against Cal, who, as you mentioned, might be going through some transition here. I think we just see that there is there's a lot of steam on these sides in bowl games. We've seen it quite a bit. And sometimes it's inaccurate. Last night, we saw the market think that everything going on with the coaching staff with Ohio was going to be impactful. Well, guess what? UNLV decided not to show up and didn't really give a rip about the game. And so they ended up losing that one outright. Steam isn't always accurate, and especially in bowl season, I think that I wouldn't be too scared if you got a wrong number or whatever it was. Yes, you want the best of the number, but I don't think that you're too freaked out by this, because I think steam movement in bowl games tends to be the least accurate of all the ones we see during the season.
So I'm going to follow up on that, because yesterday in particular, if you were steam chasing overall, it did not go well for you. You mentioned UNLV bet up from 4.5 to 6.5. Ohio wins 17-10. That total, by the way, topped out, saw all of this money on the over, 66.5. Again, 27 total points scored in that game. Southern Miss flipped to the favorite against Western Kentucky. We saw lots of over money coming in that one. They lose 27-16, also falls under. Louisville bet out from 6.5 to 12.5 at close. We talked about that game as it was live here on our air against Toledo. They only win by 5. So all of the steam that was on certain sides and on certain totals did not pan out yesterday. So tread lightly today with this one in the Hawaii Bowl, which should be fun. Unfortunately, not as much cool stuff as we saw yesterday when it comes to a trophy that was full of beans and a head coach that's getting doused in cold brew. I don't know if Hawaii is going to do anything cool like that.
You sent that to me yesterday, and I've actually watched it a couple of times now. The bean thing's disgusting.
That's so gross, right?
It's disgusting.
So I said, I texted JVT and I was like, I am on board with all of the food-based bowls. I think they're so fun. I love the Pop-Tart bowl, the Cheez-It bowl, when the ReliaQuest bowl used to be the Outback bowl, right? Like, I loved all of that stuff. I thought it was so fun. Who didn't love the giant Bloomin' Onion? But the beans might have gone a little too far. Like, I appreciate Bush's Baked Beans trying to get in on the fun and get in on this food bowl movement, but seeing these guys with the giant spoons and this vat of beans was a bit much.
That to me was, it was even that, it was just, they were double dipping. So
yes.
there were guys who were eating out of it. First off, one dude actually drops his spoon in the vat of beans.
I didn't see that.
And then uses his gloved hand to grab it out. And then still, you have guys like putting their whole mouth on the spoon and putting it back in. That was gross, dude.
Right.
That was nasty. And also, I wasn't really watching the end with sound, but I saw the clip. What was with like the announcers poo-pooing the Ohio thing? The guy's getting cold coffee dumped on him, and they're like, all right, you know, that's it. Let's just move on. I'm like, what is that? I think that's the whole point.
So I only saw the clip. I didn't watch that live. I kind of thought maybe there was something else going on in another area,
like
a scuffle type thing. That's what it sounded like it was in reaction to me. Because, yeah, I thought the coffee thing, I think that's hilarious.
Yeah.
It's just like the potato bowl. How fun is that when you get the French fries dumped on you, the Cheez-Its, all of that? I think it's great, and I love what bowl season is doing to try to keep us engaged and interested in something fun and different. But yeah, the beans were a little bit too much. Okay, we got to take our first time out of the day. We're just getting started here on Money Moves. We have lots of NFL news to get to, including a report from NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero dropping his annual NFL awards survey this morning. JVT's got opinions. We'll be right back.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. VSiN Pro gives you access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Before the line moves, the sharp plays is already there. They don't just follow the market. They help shape it. You're not going to outsmart billion-dollar sports books or full-time sharps on your own. But good news, with the sharp plays, you don't have to. Powered by advanced AI, connected to proven insider sources, and active across the NFL, the NBA, Major League Baseball, and college hoops, the Sharp Plays delivers the edge serious bettors rely on each and every day. Free daily betting reports, real-time alerts, and market-moving insights that go straight to your inbox or X feed. They've been backing it all up with documented results since 2011, public logs, transparent receipts. Check out sharpplays.com if you haven't already. Trusted by the pros, monitored by the books. Stay ahead of the line with sharpplays.com.
We got some breaking news.
Let's go.
And it's not really, I mean, it is kind of big. But, dude, I will give myself a little bit of credit. We've brought this up before. This is the new world, and you better be used to this. Are you ready? I feel like you're going to feel pretty passionate about
this. I'm anxious. What?
According to Jonathan Givony, James Nagy, the number 31 pick in the 2023 NBA draft, has enrolled at Baylor. His agents told Draft Express, former NBA draft pick is immediately eligible to play college basketball.
What?
This is awesome.
I'm so confused.
What do you mean? He's still got college eligibility. Let's go. They're employees.
Is that something that's going to – I'm kind of flabbergasted by this. So is this something that you anticipate happening
point? Of course. Like, at some point, don't you just make the argument, hey, we're employees just like the NFL players. Why can't I just go play for my team? Don't you think? Like, again, smarter legal people than I would be able to construct an argument that sounds better than what I'm spitting out right now. But, yeah.
It's just
awesome point by Sean Paul, who covers college basketball. A guy who was in a trade that featured Carl Anthony Towns, Julius Randle, and Dante DiVincenzo is going to suit up for Baylor.
He's going to go back to college. Another thing different, but it just reminded me about the NBA draft in general. Something I really hate about it is the trades. That you're going up there and you've got the hat on for a team never going to play for. That's awful.
Yeah, they got to fix it. It's absolutely brutal. But just want to throw that out there. Thought that was
all right. Interesting. Speaking of, you know, weird legalese things that have to happen to make things work, DK Metcalf and Denzel Perriman Their suspensions were both upheld. Tom Pelissero did say for DK, the $45 million in guarantees do in fact void as a result of the suspension, but sources say the Steelers have already reaffirmed their commitment to Metcalf for 2026 and beyond, and both sides are moving forward together, whatever that means for the guarantees. Also, a couple other quick updates around the league. We did see the Jets put Justin Fields on injured reserve, so Brady Cook is going to start again. Tyrod Taylor backing him up. An interesting just wrinkle financially. Fields has $20 million in salary next season, $10 million of that guaranteed. So what's – I mean, are they just going to have to basically eat that $10 million, you assume, when they move on to do whatever they're going to do? For the Washington Commanders this week with the Marcus Mariota issue, Josh Johnson will start on Christmas Day against the Cowboys as well, according to Dan Quinn. And yesterday, another day that Lamar Jackson, although it was one of those, it's not an actual practice. What do they call it? I don't know why I'm forgetting the name of it, but
simulated practice.
No. Like the Ravens. Walkthrough yesterday, was on the estimated practice report as a DNP. So questions on Lamar Jackson with the significant back bruise that he's dealing with.
Yep, I think all of that mostly expected, right? No crazy surprises at this point right now. And what we've seen for either the quarterbacks, the announcements, and the confirmations of what we're going to get on Christmas or moving forward this week.
Okay, now let's get into some fun stuff because I mentioned Tom Pelissero. He had another report that came out this morning. Every year he conducts one of those anonymous general manager high exec surveys where you take input on all the league's awards before they come out. There are 30 anonymous execs in all, and some of the results are pretty telling, at least based on what league people think about who's going to win each of these awards. Yeah. And I want to start with the two most lopsided results because I know one of them in particular really, really interests you. Both are on the defensive side of the ball. Myles Garrett, absolute runaway, which I think was expected, and the odds market really showed that anyways. He has 28 of the votes. Reigning defensive player of the year, Pat Surtain, got one, and Micah Parsons got another. Then we go to defensive rookie of the year, I know you are particularly excited.
I mean, if this is accurate, very exciting that Carson Schwechinger did get every vote, I believe, right? No, excuse me. He got every vote but two. Either way, it looks like it's a lopsided run here for Carson S. to get this thing done. If you look at it, defensive rookie of the year odds, minus 800. It's interesting as well because you look at some of these other guys like Emmanuel and others, wouldn't really reflect, and I think that's going to be the theme of what we're talking about here, what their actual odds are of winning this. And I should throw out this caveat, and I will. This is a very fair caveat. We're talking about people who are not voters, and we're only talking about 30 people in terms of the voting pool.
It was 21 general managers and then other high-end executives around the league.
So very small sample size of people who will not be deciding what the vote is. But you can probably think that this is going to reflect what most think when you're talking about awards, give or take some votes here or there and some of the discrepancies that we see in terms of the lead. So either way, pretty good here, a pretty good sign for us here if you're talking about Carson S. backers. Well, I know there's quite a few of us out there. There's dozens of us.
Another pretty good sign for us, Matthew Stafford MVP.
Yeah.
So he got 18 of the votes. Drake May, who's your second shot on the board, and again, from an odds perspective, Matthew Stafford earlier this morning, actually before this report came out, so we have seen movement in this market in particular, was minus 240, now minus 350. Drake May, 3-1, he got 5 votes. Josh Allen, 4. Myles Garrett snuck in with 2.
Yeah.
And Justin Herbert with 1. But a seemingly, at least at this point, Stafford, 18 votes, a runaway for him as well.
Yeah, so this is where you start to get into, I think, some really interesting territory. Obviously, you and I have said this quite a bit. You know, the odds kind of reacting to every single little thing that happens, flipping back and forth. If this gap is reflective of what the media actually thinks, there was never any reason to flip back to Drake May over the last, like, two weeks ago when we got that a plus, whatever it was, and that Stafford should be more than just minus 230. And the odds are starting to reflect it a little bit here, but I think it's very clear. Stafford not only is the leader right now to win this, look at the games he has left. He's got the Atlanta Falcons on Monday night, and he's got the Arizona Cardinals coming up after that.
He's going to do some damage to the...
Sure. Like, he should be able to put up some monster numbers here to just... essentially put the nail in the coffin for May. And the fact that May in this survey only had one more vote than Josh Allen, I think, is also somewhat telling when you look at that. And then, of course, as we had discussed for MVP, he's at least in the conversation for one executive. Herbert got a vote here, as we have kind of discussed.
Speaking to the Drake May, Josh Allen, Drake May 3-1 on the odds board. Josh Allen 28-1.
Yes.
Like, there's a big gap from an odds perspective there. Something else you pointed out to me was Matthew Stafford from the offensive player of the year standpoint and how that impacts MVP.
So this, I think, is the most interesting. And we'll, I think we could play this a little bit later, or, you know, in fact, I think I don't want to pull an audible on you. I think we can play this now. Can we get the clip from Mitch and I ready to go here on this? Cause we had brought this up the other day. I think I'm wrong here. Listen to this clip from Mitch and I on Pod to the Futures about the offensive player of the year race. And we talked about Puka Nacua and the race itself.
I think we're going to be status quo here. And I was trying to start some arguments, is the whole point here on Twitter. And one of the things I tweeted out was like, oh boy, Ramondre Stevenson's 21-yard touchdown run really helped Drake May's MVP candidacy or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I know he threw for like 380 yards. He was very good there. But again, I just think if we're looking at this objectively, I don't really know why this is a conversation or how this is going to go. And I think the thing that's going to work against Drake May is these next two games for Stafford are going to be, they should be able to rack up the scores here and put forth some pretty good counting stats for him to put this away.
He has 15 more touchdown passes than Drake May. 15.
Yeah, I know.
He's
it's a conversation.
He's also leading the league in passing yards.
Yep.
That wasn't what I was expecting.
Different clip.
So either way, I was going to say. But either way, that stands. What I was going to bring up here was for offensive player of the year, Jackson Smith and Jigma. My point on the pod this week was I thought the race was tighter than what the market indicated. That is not the case. I mean, if this is true, Jackson Smith and Jigba is running away with this. But how about this? Matthew Stafford got six votes and was the runner-up among these executive for Offensive Player of the Year. He's not listed here as we have the top choices for Offensive Player of the Year. And, in fact, he's 150-1 over at FanDuel and other spots. And as I will point out, if you go back and look at the history of quarterbacks who have won Offensive Player of the Year, they've also won MVP. So just something to kind of put in your pipe and smoke on for a little bit, because if he goes on, and let's say he just goes just ham over the next 2 weeks, and Jackson Smith and Jigba, with the way that this offense has been kind of, you know, off and on, and look, they have Carolina, but then they have a hard one, like maybe, against the San Francisco 49ers. I don't know, man, like at 150-1, I don't, like, we are always chasing these long shots. And coming up a little bit later, we'll talk about the market kind of chasing one long shot ghost that doesn't seem to really have a shot at all. Maybe that's the long shot you should be chasing. Stafford, Offensive Player of the Year at 150-1. What do you mean?
Well, I think he's, I just think he's
I have literal evidence that says people think he's the second choice for it.
So I understand that, but I'm saying I think that the way this is going to play out is Matthew Stafford wins MVP, JSN wins Offensive Player of the Year. I think the Offensive Player of the Year votes just further cement, though, the MVP candidacy. Like that's
point,
kind of more of the way that I view it. But you mentioned the other long shot. We will get to that in a little bit later. That is in the Offensive Rookie of the Year market, where Tedero McMillan is the leader in the clubhouse with 17 votes, according to this anonymous survey. But for now, as we take a quick time out here, when we come back, we're going to shift gears with our great friend Kendall Valenzuela joining us, even from the road this week. She's traveling for the holidays, but still taking time out of her day to help get you set for Champ Week on Fantasy Island. We're talking all things fantasy football and prop matchups next here on Money Moves with Kendall.
Watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Right now is the best time of year to be a better. And the all-new Boomer Sportsbook is bringing you the action. Football, hockey, hoops, and so much more. All you got to do is use the code VSiN250 when you sign up for Boomer's mobile account to get a first deposit match up to $250 in bonus bets. Plus, minus 105 on all pro football spreads every regular season game. Download the Boomer Sportsbook app today. Learn more at betwithboomer.com. Must be 21 or older. Terms and conditions do apply. Please bet responsibly. Stormy Bontoni, Jonathan Von Tobel with you. Congrats to all of you who made the finish line in your respective fantasy football leagues. You're in the fantasy championship.
That does not deserve congratulations.
Yes, it does.
You only get congratulations when you win. Okay.
You could be like me and get bounced like a pregnant lady trying to get into the club early. I don't know what that means. Didn't happen. Oh, you know what that means.
Pregnant ladies are allowed in my club, but let's ask a true professional about whether or not congratulations are deserved.
Okay, fair point. Kendall Valenzuela joins us, as always, on the Progressive Guest Line, doing great work over there. Host, writer, fantasy analyst over there at Fantasy Life, doing great work. SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Radio as well, Channel 87 on SiriusXM. Kendall, do you think you can celebrate making the championship game?
I don't think so. Not yet. You have to, the job's not finished. You have to finish the job. You have to win or else you're the first loser and no one wants to be that. So I don't think so. I'm with Jonathan on this one.
And the immortal words of Kobe Bryant, job's not done.
Okay.
Come on.
Well, this week in particular, maybe more tough than usual considering the three games that we have on Christmas. Then you've got the two games on Saturday as well. Some guys with injury designations. Kendall, this isn't a set it and forget it early in the week type of a situation. What's the best way to handle or approach championship week?
Yeah, this is going to be a tough week because you've got, three potential backup starters this week and maybe even more, really, when we're looking at it. So I think if you're on this week, you need to be looking at potentially just blocking your opponents. And that's what I've been trying to do in some of my championships is, okay, what does my opponent need? I'm going to pick that person up off the waiver wire, make sure they cannot get them because all the quarterback injuries, we don't know about Jordan Love. We don't know about Lamar Jackson. So if you're looking at your opponent and you see that they have some of those guys, go pick up some of the streamers that they could potentially get and you want to block them this week because this is going to be a really tough one for fantasy championships.
All right, let's start with some injuries and some bounce back from some of said injuries. How do we handle the Browns' backfield as we move into this week?
I just think you don't. I did write up, the running backs that could be out there, and I haven't seen this morning, but I just don't know yet what it's going to look like. But you do have Dylan Sampson. If he's able to come back from his hand injury, that's someone that you can look at. Raheem Sanders as well. But I think as a whole, I might want to stay away. I just don't know if I want to put my trust in the championship weekend in either of these two guys. If Dylan Sampson comes back, I do think he gets the full complement of snaps, the full workload, I should say, in this backfield. But he's been out with hand, and I believe it was an ankle injury for the past 2 weeks. So either way, I picked one up just to block my opponent. Like I said, I just want to make sure that I'm doing that. But I think there's going to be better options for someone down the rankings. But those are two guys that you could pick up to maybe block your opponent.
Yeah, let's stick with the running back theme, though, because in New England as well, Travion Henderson seems unlikely to go following the concussion last week. I know from a prop betting perspective, maybe that's good from a Ramondre Stevenson over perspective, or if you have him, you're feeling good about it. But other running back options that could be available this week?
Yeah, I think Jawar Jordan is one of them for the Texans. Again, not the best, not the sexiest name to know. But Woody Marks was unable to suit up in week 16. And you saw Jawar Jordan come out 65% of the rushing attempts, 67% of the short yardage snaps as well. So I think he could be one that maybe you're looking to. I'm also looking at picking up Emmanuel Wilson. We don't know what Josh Jacobs is going to look like this week, if he's going to be 100%. I personally think he shouldn't have even played last weekend. And it looked like it obviously did hinder him. So I'm going to pick up Emmanuel Wilson if he's still floating around out there. I don't think he should be, but if he is for some people, I think that's, again, a really good option where you can look around and say, okay, this, you can only play him if Josh Jacobs is out. But if he is out, then that's a really big guy that you can go and get. And then again, I said Raheem Sanders. I also really like Chris Rodriguez Jr. For Washington this week. 29% roster going up against Dallas. And my thing with him is that if you have Javonte Williams playing on that Thursday game, Dallas going up against the Commanders, and you're worried about him, go pick up either, Malik Davis is their RB2, or you can go get Chris Rodriguez playing on the other side.
All right, what about some guys that had some big performances last week? Of course, one of them being Parker Washington, a massive game, 10 targets, 6 receptions, 145, and a touchdown. Is that going to stick? Should we be adding him?
I don't know if it's going to stick, but I want to be adding him. Yes, he's only 23% roster, and I feel like we've talked about him a lot this past couple months. But he gets Indianapolis this week. If for whatever reason your championship is going into week 18, they get Tennessee. But I don't think we should overreact to his huge week 16 performance because, like you said, I don't think he's going to get 6 catches, 145 on 10 targets every single time. You had Patrick Surtain locking up BTJ, Brian Thomas Jr. Trevor Lawrence was looking elsewhere to go with the ball, but he looked really good in this performance. So I don't think it's going to be a repeat. Let's just say that. But I do want Parker Washington though on my team if I've got some wide receiver injuries or if I need to look at someone with the flex. Because then again, when we look at them, you know, they played the Broncos. I didn't think they had a chance, and they were able to dice them up. So it looks pretty good.
Fantasy Life senior analyst Kendall Valenzuela joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line. You can also follow her on X at KValenzuela17. Jeremy Fowler of ESPN confirmed this morning that 49ers tight end George Kittle suffered a mid-to-low ankle sprain. Yeah. Shouldn't be out long-term if he misses time at all. Another report that he does have a chance to play this week against the Bears. What is your approach to Kittle specifically this week? And if he were to be unavailable to go, tight end options that could be worth a look?
Yeah, I'm nervous about Kittle, and it's so unfortunate because we have to look at this game. It's Sunday night, and so you might not have the luxury, if you have George Kittle, to necessarily wait. We've got the Rams playing on Monday night going up against the Falcons, so maybe that's the one you also look at, but I'm just really nervous about George Kittle. If I have him, I want to 100% make sure I have a backup option. So, like I said, Colby Parkinson maybe for the Rams is someone that you can pick up because, like, they play on Monday. Hopefully we know sooner rather than later with George Kittle, but I'm not necessarily banking on him going this weekend. And so I think if you want someone on that Monday game, it's Colby Parkinson. I still really like Colston Loveland, tight end for the Chicago Bears. He's 43% rostered. I wrote up one AJ Barner as well. I've seen people talk about Taysom Hill, and I want to believe maybe Taysom Hill could do it again, but I'm really erring on the side of caution with him. They're going up against Tennessee, so not a bad matchup, but for Taysom Hill, I think that was kind of a send-off. I think that was his last time he's going to be playing at home in New Orleans, and they wanted to give him, you know, a really nice send off. Could he do it again? Maybe 12 carries, 42 yards, 4 catches, 36. But I think that's more of a boom bust, risky, you know, tight end two to play.
By the way, Kendall, as somebody checks in with us, says they made it this far because of you. Kendall had we had her on the beginning of the season. She mentioned Drake May, and here I sit on the brink of a championship. So respect the process, yes. Checking in and saying they're a big Kendall Valenzuela fan, as we are. All right, well, speaking of Taysom Hill, is it just obvious to add Shuck if you've got nothing going on at quarterback?
Yeah, I feel like I'm a broken record, and someone said, you know, you always mention Shuck. Is there anyone else? And I'm like, no, just go get Tyler Shuck. Like, he is playing Tennessee, and then he faces Atlanta week 18. Yeah. He has scored at least 17 fantasy points in 4 straight games. I know people don't want to go there. They say it's the Saints, but he has been one of the best quarterbacks to pick up and stream as of late. He's completed 66.7% of his passes this season. He averages, you know, 6.9 yards per pass attempt. We saw Chris Olave go off last week, so I sound like a broken record, but he's always going to be the one, especially this last week. If you have really bad quarterback injuries, if you're worried about Jordan Love, Lamar Jackson, like, Tyler Shuck should be that guy that you go and pick up. Of course, if Jacoby Brissett's out there, you're picking him up. If Trevor Lawrence is out there, you're picking him up. But Tyler Shuck, for what he's been doing these last weeks and going up against a bad Tennessee Titans team, I would go ahead and do that.
Kendall, before we let you go, we usually have you at your desk with the background and everything. You're on the road. Happy holidays. You traveling home? You excited for tomorrow? What's going on?
Yes, I'm traveling. I'm traveling home to Seattle. Got my family out there. Going to, you know, cheer on the Seahawks, hopefully getting other big wins. And, yeah, we're just hanging out playing card games. I don't know if you guys are cribbage fans, but we do about cribbage for 12 hours a day. That's what we got going on over here.
I did not know that cribbage existed until COVID, and it's a big, like, Canadian game. And so a bunch of hockey players were like, you have to learn how to play this game. So I learned a few years ago. I'd never heard of it, though.
Love
that. Is that embarrassing?
Oh, it's so fun. It's so fun. My grandma taught me when I was little, so that's what we're going to be doing over here. But I hope you guys have a great holiday as well. It's a fun time. And get those championships, of course.
That's right.
Thank you so much, Kendall. You're awesome.
Merry Christmas, Kendall.
Yes, enjoy the holiday. Travel
Merry
safe.
Merry Christmas, guys. Thank you.
And yes, that's awesome. I love that we had somebody chime in and say that he is in his fantasy league in big part the championship week because of Kendall. Hell yeah.
Absolutely. I've never played cribbage in him. I've heard of the game, but I've never played it.
Yeah.
I don't know how to play.
Well, I had never heard of it either. There's like a wood board and there's a whole lot of different.
All I know is that I've tried to fight people over phase 10. That's all I know.
Phase 10 wasn't a game I really got into. We're big. You ever play spades or hearts?
Yes.
Like, that's kind of been the vibe in my household a lot. Okay. Or my brother and I.
You ever played dice?
No, not as much.
No? Yeah.
My brother and I would play blackjack at home, though.
Take some pockets with dice.
For
that's
quarters
a lot of fun.
Back in the day. Okay, we got to step aside. More coming up here next on Money Moves. Naughty or nice? These NBA and NHL futures. Stick around.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
About you guys, but the holiday season can be really stressful for me sometimes, trying to figure out what I want to get my friends, what I want to get my families. Well, we have the perfect holiday gift that you can give out, or at least a smarter way to bet the biggest games of the season. VSiN's holiday special going on right now gives you VSiN Pro access to everything we do here at the network through May 1st. Just $79. Get it for yourself. Get it for someone you truly care about. You'll get all our daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop tools, plus 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app covering everything from bowl season in the NFL playoffs, the March Madness, the Masters. It'll all be here before you know it. Plus, you also get our college football playoff betting guide featuring expert playoff predictions and the like. Give yourself the gift of smarter betting this holiday season. VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. How you can come join us.
This I have just placed on the table was my Christmas gift from Wyatt, our wonderful producer.
This is very, very kind of you. Cherry limeade, I
see. Yep, very. It's an energy drink, Ghost energy drink. Give them a pop. I know we have a team that markets things. I mean, come on. We are caffeine connoisseurs here. But a very big thank you for Wyatt. Where's mine?
Wyatt, where's my gift?
Well, first off, you work tomorrow.
Hold on. Where's your gift? We had an agreement in the parking garage where we said no gifts.
Not only that, it was actually the best agreement ever because you cut me off. And you said, yeah, no, I'm not getting anything.
You're coming to my house, maybe.
That's true.
Right? Because your family left you for the holidays.
Maybe, yeah.
So you're on your own, potentially.
That's right.
See? There's friendship.
The gift is your presence.
Exactly. Nailed it. Actually, how did you do on your holiday shopping list? Because it's Christmas Eve today. Are you done? Did you get everything? Do you get extra time because the kids aren't here?
Yeah, I got
to
go pick up
a
couple of other things for my wife, and that's it. So, yeah, I'm pretty much done. Simple Christmas. I mean, she's not watching or listening. She's on a plane right now. Very adult gift for my wife. A couple of things, but she wanted like this specific toothbrush.
Really?
Yeah. Outside of some other things.
Okay. Has to be more than the toothbrush. No. I get that she wanted the toothbrush, and that's great that you're getting her what she asked for.
Yes.
But like, do something nice too.
Yeah. Of course.
Yes. Okay.
Yes.
Just making sure.
I think it's
That's like the equivalent of when they talk about like my wife said she really wanted a vacuum. Yes, but she doesn't just want the vacuum.
No, of course not. No, like there's a couple of other things, including to me the big one was because I don't like to pick stuff out, but she never goes to any of like the she always says she wants to go to like the beauty places, but never does.
Okay.
So I got like a gift card to Ulta.
That's a great call.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like just
nailed it.
Because then she doesn't have like the, well, I don't want to spend it. Like, no, I got it there. So you have to go and spend this or else it's going to expire. It's going to be a waste of money.
And then you don't have the stress of having to go and try to get the things that she has.
Oh, no shot.
Has,
yeah, yeah,
you
no,
know?
No shot.
Because I saw someone trying to give advice on gifts to get your wife or girlfriend. And they were like, just go in her little bathroom drawers and pull out some of the different products and go buy the same. Don't do that. Just give her a gift card. She'll go find the stuff that she wants to do.
No. Yeah.
Help me help you.
And Wyatt, that's the incorrect answer. Producer Wyatt got in the ear and said, cash. No. No shot.
Yeah. No. No.
No. Because it's thoughtful if you go the other way.
Exactly.
Right? Yes, exactly.
You have to go the extra mile. He said, this is why I'm single. Maybe. Maybe why. No.
Let's see. Deepak checks in, says the best game to play on Christmas is A-hole, the drinking game. Once you win president three times, you make a rule. I think I know what you're talking about, Deepak. I think we called it something different.
Know that one.
Yeah.
You ever played Old Maid? That is one my family gets wild with.
I mean, that sounds like, Deepak, that sounds like King's Cup. I mean, that's what we would play.
Oh, I like
yeah,
King's Cup.
King's Cup,
that's
maybe
King's
that's something
Cup,
like that.
I can get down with that.
And maybe that's what Pat's saying here. Pat, I know you checked in, just said Jonathan Stormy shut the box. Maybe that's what he's referring to. Is that a game?
Oh, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. Never
talking,
heard of it.
We were talking Christmas games with Kendall Valenzuela and playing cribbage. And
well,
so maybe that's.
Speaking of Christmas games, let's play a little one ourselves
what
here.
A
Naughty
a
or Nice.
I wasn't done talking
NBA
about this
and NHL Futures Edition. Our producer, Wyatt, who came up with a handful of these different futures bets potentially for you specifically in the NBA, for me in the NHL. And we are going to determine if they should be naughty, meaning we don't want to bet them, no interest. Or nice,
we
no.
Because
I can give you no analysis. I can actually give you analysis on the hockey stuff. I can't give you analysis
I can give
on
you
the
hockey.
NBA. This isn't Festivus, okay?
I'm not saying this. I'm just saying. Well, we actually missed on Festivus Feats of Strength. But I feel like I'd beat you
here.
Pizza
no,
strength.
We're just going to stick to the script here. Don't try to flip this on me. I'm going to go set you up with the first one that Wyatt has for you. Naughty or nice, the Spurs to win the Western Conference at 14-1.
Naughty. That's no. Come on now. You need more than 14-1 for the San Antonio Spurs to do it. We'll go through some of the intricacies of how they've beaten the Oklahoma City Thunder a couple of times when we preview their game on Christmas. But I think you want a little bit more. And it's not just the Oklahoma City Thunder. You obviously have the Denver Nuggets, who almost pulled off a comeback victory yesterday against the Dallas Mavericks. You also have the Houston Rockets. I think that the Spurs can win a series. Hell, they can maybe win two, depending on the bracket breaking right. But I think you'd want more than 14-1 on a young San Antonio team to make a run through the Western Conference. Generally, the narrative is, you know, a young team has to kind of suffer before mm-hmm. it goes through okay. and wins a couple of series. We haven't really seen a team build in one season and then immediately go on the run. And I think that's probably what you're going to see here.
Okay. You got one for me?
Oh, yeah, sure. Red Wings to win the Atlantic Division. Naughty or nice?
Play along.
Yeah.
Why do you have to do this? Why do you have to act like you're cooler than everything?
I'm not.
We're playing a fun game.
You had to listen in front of you. I thought. By the way, there's no like bells.
I'm supposed to tee up myself for something? Yeah. No, play along. Red Wings to win the Atlantic. Plus 950 is the price here. I'm going to put this on the naughty list as well, which if anybody is just looking at the standings, you're like, what are you talking about? They're in first place in the Atlantic right now, and you're getting plus 950.
Are the futures on the naughty list or the people who are betting it on the naughty list?
My little sister is trying to FaceTime me right now. the future is on the naughty list.
Naughty list.
Yeah, apparently I am too because I had my ringer on. But I didn't have my ringer on. It was the volume on my computer, which I didn't expect to get a call from. There, and neither here nor there. Anyway, yes, the Red Wings are really good. This is just not a team I want to buy in on long term. They have a top three most difficult remaining schedule. The division, the separation from the top seven teams is decided by 6 points at this point. It's razor thin. And I just don't have a lot of faith in their defense and goaltending in general. They have a two goalie tandem with John Gibson and Cam Talbot. And it's kind of been like a seesaw. At the very beginning of the year, Gibson was all out of sorts. He was 0-5-1. Talbot was kind of steadying the ship. And then since it's really flipped around, Gibson took a step in the right direction. And Talbot has kind of been faltering. And in a condensed schedule with two goalies who are older and a defense that's as porous as they are, it's just not something that I really have a lot of interest in. So that's going to be a naughty list for me.
Wow.
Bucks to make the playoffs, plus 450. Naughty or nice?
We'll go naughty here if you're going to bet this thing. There's probably a seat at the table for the top 10. I mean, of the teams that are probably going to fall out, you're looking at one of Atlanta or Chicago, with Chicago maybe being the most likely candidate at this point right now. But having said that, if you're Milwaukee, what's the future with Giannis, who is unhealthy, and who knows what his future is just going to be with the team in general? I think they're going to start to really take a hit here. And you're already down quite a bit. You're about 2.5 games back from the Chicago Bulls just for the 10th seed. And then if you get the 10th seed, you got to win your way in by winning two play-in games, even if you're right there in that range, because I don't think you're going to make a good enough push to get inside of the top six or maybe even inside of the top eight to just make it just one win to get in. So I would say no. I don't think this team really has it in them at this point right now. And by the way, we can discuss it a little bit later, but you also might have another contender checking in as the Charlotte Hornets are starting to turn things around with some wins, with some frequency here. So
double-digit wins, baby!
Yeah. What was the stat that they threw in? It was like the earliest they've had 10 wins this they hit the 10-win mark last night before Christmas.
So sad.
First time since the 2021-2022 season.
So
sad. And the first time they've hit 10 wins before the middle of January since the 2022-2023 season. That's from Owen O'Connor, who covers the Hornets.
Jeez Louise. Very excited.
What do you mean, though? I mean,
my dad was excited they got a win.
They have one. I don't think I threw this in there either, but there is a stat. I think I sent it to you. But they've won, I think, is it 6 out of 12 games, something like that?
Okay.
So, their whole thing was health. So I think they're really going to start to push for – Kelly's got 30-plus wins, Kelly Bidlin. I think they're really going to push for that. So, RB, I think he might have a little bit of life here.
Anything else you want to throw my way before we get sure. out of this segment?
Sure. Let's see here. Naughty or nice, do you think the Boston Bruins to make the playoffs is worth it?
No.
Okay, moving on.
Got any more? But no, I don't. Plus 550. No, I was actually looking at some of the advanced metrics on Boston. Sixth in the league in shots against allowed, fourth in high danger chances against, second in expected goals against at even strength. So that is not a team that screams, I want to back you moving forward. Their special teams have been good. Jeremy Swayman has been their MVP, but no, thank you.
Okay, I like it. What about is it the Rocket Richard trophy?
Yes.
Is that it? What do we think about that one with Jason Robertson to win it?
Top goal scorer in the league. Nathan McKinnon. Yeah, I like that. Plus 750. He and Connor McDavid are tied for second shots on the board there. And I am very pro Dallas Stars. I think Jason Robertson is awesome. And he has 9 goals on the power play this year, which I think is just going to continue to up his chances to do this. Now, Nathan McKinnon paces the league. He's got 30 goals in 36 games. That's 5 more goals and 2 fewer games played than the next closest guy, who's actually Morgan Geeky, who's available at 16-1. I just don't think that's sustainable.
By the way, did you notice that hell froze over? Because the Knights and the Rangers last night won by multiple goals.
Oh, yeah. Clean sweep in the NHL for your girl yesterday. I actually did something good. But, yes, the Rangers got it done. And the Golden Knights absolutely, like, scorched earth on San Jose yesterday. Loved to see it. Got out early and didn't look back.